Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to Score Business Points. This is Michael Pappas, your host. As a small business owner, you wear a lot of different hats. One of them is your human resources hat. When you wear this hat, part of your responsibilities are the selection, hiring, and motivation of your employees. Let's face it, finding and selecting a candidate for a job is not as cut and dried as it may initially seem. You don't just look up and down the list of candidates and say, that person will do just fine. Instead, you have to go through numerous steps to get to the final stage of the employee selection process. That process includes building a hiring plan, developing a job description, creating a job opening announcement, conducting interviews, running background checks, and sending the final offer letter, among other steps along the way. If you're like any small business employer, you probably don't have time to get into the nitty-gritty details of the selection process. Whether you want to hire an intern for your company, fill positions in your rapidly growing startup, build out your sales team, or grow your employee base by tenfold, there are steps you can follow for your recruitment and selection process so you can get the new star candidate on your team. And once you get that new star candidate on your team, keep him or her by making sure they are motivated. How can all this be accomplished? Funny you should ask. One of the SCORE mentors from the Broward County, Florida chapter created a workshop presentation called Employee Hiring, Selection, and Motivation, A Bridge to a Successful Business. For the remainder of this show, I would like to pass along the information included in that mentor's presentation. First, let's define what is meant by employee selection. Employee or candidate selection is the process of finding a new hire best suited for the role in question. The steps in the employee selection process depend on the role you're hiring for, your recruiting budget, the seniority of the position, available resources, and your organizational needs. So, our mentor says that you must prepare for the interview. You do this by preparing a job description, establishing selection criteria, in other words, define must-haves and would-be-nice qualifications, experience, and education of candidates. Consider your long-term business needs. Reflect on your management style. What type of employees did or do you manage most effectively? Fitting the person to the job and not the job to the person, and never hiring without screening and interviewing. It may be obvious why you do these steps, but let me go over them anyway. Preparing a job description and establishing selection criteria has two objectives. First, it makes you think about exactly what the job entails, what kind of education level you want the candidates to have, and is this an entry-level position or do you require experience? Many times, if you require experience and an education level, the more years of experience may offset the education level requirement. Second, the job description and selection criteria lets the potential candidates know what you are looking for. This will forestall just anyone applying for the position. You don't want to be searching through hundreds of resumes because you didn't specify the job description and the criteria you are looking for. Considering your long-term business needs means looking at your current business and your future projections. Has your business reached its capacity to take on new work, and are you experiencing strong revenue growth? Hiring new staff can bring many benefits to your workplace. Some of the top advantages of hiring new staff are improved employee morale and mental health, bringing new ideas to your company, increase the skill set of your workforce, build your capacity for new work, and grow your revenue. Reflecting on your management style, what type of employee did or do you manage most effectively? You will most likely be involved in the training of this new employee. What is your management style? Democratic management values feedback, while autocratic style centralizes decisions. Transformational managers push for growth, whereas coaching managers prioritize team development. Visionary management focuses on communicating overarching goals without micromanaging. The hands-off approach trusts employees with more autonomy and responsibility. Recognizing and adjusting one's management style is pivotal for effective leadership and team success. fitting the person to the job and not the job to the person. When there is a person-job fit, it is important for their work because it has strong implications for their well-being. It impacts job satisfaction as well as satisfaction with your coworkers and supervisors. You can also expect increases in your organizational commitment and identification when the person fits well into their job. Finally, their strain decreases when they fit better with their job. So overall, they'll be happier, more dedicated to your organization, and less stressed when they feel better fit with the job. Lastly, never hire without screening and interviewing. Pre-hire screening provides you with objective data about candidates' skills, personalities, cognitive abilities, and workplace values. It has been reported that utilizing pre-employment assessment results in 36% more satisfaction with final decisions over not using it. Pre-hire assessments cut down on hiring time and lowers the cost of hiring. Companies that use pre-hire screenings report a 39% lower turnover rate. And lastly, organizations who use pre-hire assessments are 24% more likely to have employees who exceed performance goals. And why interview? Interviews can help you identify prospective employees who align with your company's goals and cultures. In an interview, you can evaluate the candidate's qualifications, work experience, and industry knowledge by asking targeted questions. The candidate's responses can help you identify who has a background that aligns best with your company goals. Learning what skills and experience a candidate has can also help you determine if you may need to provide additional training to a candidate after hiring them. The next step in the process, as outlined by the presentation, is the assessing of the candidates who apply for the position. You do that through reviewing their resumes and cover letters. By doing so, you will be able to determine their education and past experience, general writing communication skills, and compare candidates against each other. Once that is done, you can separate the candidates into best fits, maybes, and no-goes. Now that you have prospective candidates, the next step is to conduct a preliminary phone interview prior to inviting candidates in for an interview. This phone interview will allow you to save your time and the candidate's time. Ask about the core skills, qualifications, and minimum required education. Ask for logistics. An example is reliable transportation for sales job candidates. Ask for an expected salary range and use your gut feeling assessment, but make sure to give a benefit of doubt. Just a reminder before we go on with what this presentation outlines. Be aware of unconscious bias. Maintain that awareness as you sift through resumes. For example, during the selection process, watch out for potential biases including someone's name, gender, race, age, class, and even academic background. For instance, just because someone has got their MBA from a local college rather than from Harvard doesn't necessarily make them less worthy of a candidate or their MBA degree less impressive. Once you have your best fit candidates, it's time to bring them in for a face-to-face interview. The presentation gives these tips in preparing for this interview. Consider untraditional times for interviews with working candidates. An example is 8 a.m. or 5:30 p.m. Be on time for an interview as you're expecting the same from your candidate. Be cognizant of your office representation. Remember, the interview process is not only for a candidate to sell him or herself, but also for you to sell your company to a candidate. A good interview will help you make better hiring decisions as you will objectively evaluate and compare candidates' potential. But there's more to do than the actual interview. You need to prepare yourself and the entire hiring team, if you have one, to make sure you ask all the right questions. More specifically, you should prepare a list of job-related questions that assess how well candidates can manage their regular job duties. You can ask a mix of role-specific questions to evaluate candidates' knowledge and experience, soft skill questions to identify candidates who are good, not just on paper, situational questions to learn how candidates would address different scenarios and issues that may arise on the job, behavioral questions to discover how candidates have previously handled professional challenges, a list of cultural fit questions that will help you pick candidates who are more likely to thrive in your work environment. For example, you could ask career goal questions to find candidates whose professional goals align with your business objectives. collaboration questions to identify team players, adaptability questions to learn which candidates are more flexible and will have a smooth transition to their new role if hired. Once you have your set of interview questions ready and double-checked that you're not asking anything illegal, you can invite candidates to your offices or schedule a video call if you're hiring remotely. When you schedule an interview, schedule it at least 2 or 3 business days in advance. It goes without saying, if you've found the perfect candidate or if you're in a rush to close an open role, you want to speed up the process. But calling candidates to ask them to meet you on the same or next day can send the wrong message and make you look desperate. Besides, candidates might be working elsewhere, so they need to adjust their schedule. They also need some time to prepare themselves for the interview. An example is do some research on your company, take a closer look at their assignments, etc. The next step is the actual interview. The presentation gives various kinds of interviews: one-on-one, group, and hands-on or working interviews. With one-on-one interviews, they may be completed several times with the same manager, or they may be done several times with different managers or owners. If completed by different managers, make sure you coordinate the questions. They provide more of an in-depth assessment, and the candidate and interviewer have the undivided attention of each other. Group interviews can take the form of one of two ways: a group of managers interviewing a single candidate, or a group of candidates being interviewed by a single person. Either way, make sure the candidates know beforehand what they can expect. It is not fair to have them show up for an interview and be surprised by how it will be conducted. When it comes to a group interview with 2 or more candidates, the presentation points out some pros and cons. The pros: saves time for a manager, helps assess candidates' interpersonal skills, and provides real-time comparison between candidates. The cons: it may not provide a thorough assessment of skills and qualifications, it does not give an undivided attention to a candidate, and be careful not to expose the candidate's salary requirements to each other. When you have a panel of interviewers interviewing a single candidate, meet with other interviewers beforehand. Members of the interview team must be on the same page regarding how the interview will be conducted, which questions, who will ask them, how candidates will be evaluated, etc., should all be sorted out before the group interview takes place. Introduce yourselves. Given that in the panel format, candidates will interview with multiple employees, each member of the interview panel should introduce themselves, identify their roles in the organization, and explain why they are part of the interview panel. This could occur, moreover, as soon as candidates arrive for an interview. Take turns asking questions. Not only should members of a panel take turns asking questions, you should determine the order of questions and who will ask them beforehand. This will help ensure candidates are not overwhelmed by the group and are able to focus on the question at hand. Debrief the rest of the panel. After the interview concludes, the panel should take time to share their general impression of the candidates. This debrief, moreover, should occur as soon as possible in order to ensure thoughts and impressions are fresh in the panel's mind. The last interview technique is the hands-on or working interview. In this technique, candidates are asked to perform tasks critical to the position: Excel, writing skills, electrician skills. It may be done as a follow-up to one-on-one interviews or a group interview. As the presentation points out, there are pros and cons to this technique. They are: the pros: provides a more accurate assessment of the candidate's skills than other types of interviews, and allows a candidate to get familiarized with their future working environment. The cons: be aware of legal ramifications of conducting such a type of assessment. Request the candidate sign an agreement. During the interview, the presentation points out you should introduce yourself and your role, describe the expected interview process, ask what a candidate knows about your company already, describe your company's mission, size, scope of services or products, and describe requirements and expectations of the position. Sell your company, but be honest. The presentation suggests the following questions which should be asked during the interview. Tell me about a challenging situation you faced at your last job. What was the situation and how did you cope with it? Is there an achievement of which you are particularly proud? What is it? Why is it significant? How did you manage to work with someone whom you did not like personally? It also suggests some thought-provoking questions to be asked, such as, why are manhole covers round? How many piano tuners are there in the greater Chicago area? How would you go about finding your best sales prospect? On top of those questions, it is suggested you lay out a scenario and ask the candidate for his or her solution, such as, an important report that required several weeks of your work has just been returned to you, marked rejected, with severe criticisms of your work. What is your first reaction when the boss hands it to you? How would you prioritize your boss calling you to come to their office? Reading an email from your sales employee asking for help with a client, and a client calls you with a complaint. Another possibility suggested by the presentation is role-playing with the candidate. The interviewer lays out a situation and asks the candidate to react to it. This is a very effective way to assess the candidate's skills and on-feet thinking. The interviewer can pretend being a dissatisfied customer and ask a candidate to handle the conversation with a customer. Just remember, there are questions you cannot ask during the interview process. As the presentation points out, questions about race, religion, national origin, marital status, children, relatives, age, birthplace of applicants or relatives, prior record, and labor union activities are illegal. There are four questions the presentation shows. Think you can pick out the illegal one? A. Are you able to drive, as driving locally will be a requirement for your position? B. How much longer do you plan to work before you retire? C. Are you available to work evenings and occasional weekends? And D. What are your long-term career goals? If you pick B, you're correct. Some general interview tips the presentation says are: apply the same interview process to internal candidates as you are applying to external candidates. It's better to extend the interview process and bring in more candidates than rush making a decision. Remember that all your candidates might be your potential business leads, clients, or other business associates. After completing the interview process, you should do the following. Make an assessment of your best candidate. Allow follow-up with interviewed candidates in a time frame that you committed to. Use only legal language in your letter of rejection based on qualifications and experience. Turn it into a learning opportunity for internal candidates. Consider following up with the best non-selected candidates by phone. Now it's time to select the person to whom you intend to make a job offer. In doing so, it is suggested you follow the previously established selection criteria. Ensure that everyone, manager, co-manager, involved in the interview process knows the selection criteria. Listen to your employee team and get their recommendations if you have used one. Review your notes. Use a scoring system. Use your head, not your heart. Avoid the mirror image effect. That is, someone exactly like you, looking for commonalities in the interview and resume, or someone who mirrors a reflection of you, appearing to be complete opposite, but in truth is really the same. Check references thoroughly. Tailor questions to a job description. Assess candidates' potential loyalty based on employment history. List pros and cons of the highest candidates and compare against the must and would-be nice lists. Avoid hiring a warm body mentality just to fill out an urgent opening. And lastly, if you have a doubt, there is no doubt. That ends the selection part of the mentor's presentation. Now for the motivation section. In business, employees are your most important asset. As the presentation points out, employees can make or break you. Engaged and motivated employees are more productive, profitable, safer, create stronger customer relationships, stay longer with the company, and think outside the box to improve management and business processes as well as customer service. Disengaged and unmotivated employees each year in the United States cost businesses over $450 billion in losses, according to a Gallup study. When an employee isn't in agreement with a company's mission and vision, they are neither driven to make innovative moves, nor are they likely to perform well. What motivates employees to perform better at the workplace? According to the presentation, the following are motivators: higher position and career opportunities, money incentives, and higher pay, purpose behind the task work responsibilities, skill development and mastery, appreciation and recognition, flexible working conditions, work autonomy, and fear of losing a job due to poor performance. It goes on to say that all are effective motivators depending on age group, individual personality differences, situational employee needs, and type of job, mechanical or cognitive. Different age groups have different motivators. Young workers, ages 18 to 28, are motivated by career opportunities, autonomy at work, training and development, and recognition. Middle-aged workers, 29 to 45, are motivated by job security, recognition, and monetary incentives. And older workers, 45 and above, are motivated by recognition, job security, and a positive work environment. The presentation points out that an MIT study by Daniel Pink in 2010 regarding motivation by job showed that if you have mechanical skills, job monetary incentives increase your performance. If you have a cognitive skills job, your strongest motivators are autonomy and mastery and purpose. Monetary incentives do not have an effect and, in fact, can even decrease performance. So how effective are monetary incentives? As pointed out, monetary incentives are effective only to a certain degree. Pay enough to take the money issue off the mind. Have been overrated as motivating factors. Employees leave higher paying and no recognition jobs for lower jobs with a recognition factor. Are more effective with middle-aged employee groups. And, as we pointed out, are more effective with mechanical jobs. Recognition and appreciation are a more effective way to motivate and increase employees' morale. Unfortunately, they are often overlooked by business. This is too bad because they're either inexpensive or at no cost to the organization. Recognition is usually some sort of tangible reward, while appreciation is some sort of intangible reward. When recognizing an employee's achievement, it should be tailored to the individual and his or her distinctive needs. It's recognizing the employee in a group setting has a positive effect. Attach recognition to real accomplishments and goal achievement, and keep recognition random and with an element of surprise. Some strategies to use are performance certificates, most valuable team member, most productive employee of the month, most valuable in developing others, and be authentic. Plaques, it could be rotating. Gift cards and catalogs, length of service awards, an office breakfast, ice cream social gatherings, picnics outside the office, development funds for a winning team, a day off, a spa day, a casual dress day, such as, let's say, Hawaiian day, balloons, chocolates and flowers, and fun contests like balloon blowing. The presentation points out that when it comes to showing appreciation, the business should treat and believe that their people are their most valuable asset. Praise their employee, but it must be honest and authentic. Highlight specific behavior when praising. Be spontaneous. Catch people doing something well. Write thank you notes and emails. Put smileys for the tasks well accomplished. Write thank you letters and send these to employees' homes. Offer flexible scheduling when you can. Apologize when you are incorrect. Listen to your employees and care about them beyond the work environment. Celebrate successes of your employees, such as graduation, professional licenses. Communicate and give information to people about higher order decisions and processes, and challenge and give your employees an opportunity to grow. Well, listeners, there it is. A primer on how to go about employee hiring, selection, and motivation. While this is not the definitive manual on the subject, it is a very comprehensive look at it. What has been outlined over the last 20 minutes or so covers much of how to go about employee hiring, selection, and motivation. If you put into practice what has been covered here, you will, in all likelihood, have better and more motivated employees. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you would like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education for the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj, that's score.org/southeastnj, and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.